Everything has a lifespan. This past week, one of our dear church members brought the Jackson family, and I would say brought Neil Jackson, a gallon of chocolate milk. Now, it was good chocolate milk, the kind of chocolate milk that makes your tongue slap your brain. And there was an expiration date on that chocolate milk. But something about chocolate milk in the Jackson house with Neil Jackson and two twins, it doesn't matter what the expiration date is because it's going to be gone the next day. And a gallon of milk the next day, I go down there, open up the refrigerator, and it's gone. Everything has a lifespan. Your house has a lifespan. If you go to Europe, the way that they build their buildings, they build them to have a lifespan much longer than the construction we do in America many times. Everything has a lifespan. I'm here to say countries have a lifespan. And depending upon what a country is built upon determines the lifespan that country will have. The ancient Egyptians, they flourished under Joseph. But yet there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, who let the nation stray from those principles that Joseph used to lead them. And they were overtaken and they were defeated. The Medo-Persians built a great country, but it crumbled and fell under debauchery and wickedness. Alexander the Great, the Greek Empire, he conquered the known world at that time by the age of 32 years old. And yet the empire totally crumbled morally, and then it crumbled physically. Rome became the leader of the world, but it fell when their morals imploded. America has risen to unparalleled heights. And we are here today celebrating America and all that God has done for America. And America, you think about it, we don't have concentration camps. We are a free democracy where we get to choose those that are going to govern over us. Every man has a vote, and every man has a voice. So if you don't like something that's done in Raleigh, in the county, or in the country, you can go on Facebook and ignorantly or brilliantly, you can let your, and some people do both, you can let your wishes be known and your opinions known for everybody to read and to see what. You can't do that in China. You can't do that in North Korea. You can't do that in Russia. We have the freedom to worship this morning. Freedom of religion. That's not true in North Korea. That's not true in Iran. Stalin decreed in Russia, May 1st, 1937, there must not remain in the territory of Soviet Russia a single house of prayer to God. And the very conception of God will be banished from the boundaries of Russia. Everything has a lifespan. I'm here and I want to take you on a little history lesson today and then show you what Scripture says. The reason America is so strong and powerful today is because the building materials that our founders used to build the United States of America. This morning, three promises from God for the success of any country. These promises from Psalm 33 will work in Russia. They will work in Iran. They'll work in Iraq. They'll work in England. They'll work anywhere. They'll work in your home. They'll work with your homeowners association. They work. Sermon I've entitled, The Blessing of a Nation. First truth I want you to see, notice the reverence of a nation. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. The word blessed means happy. It means successful. It means favored. It means prosperous. It means flourishing. This blessing is not because they are wealthy. This blessing is not because they're powerful. This blessing is not because they have a lot of land mass. This blessing is not because, well, they have a lot of gifted leaders that make wise decisions. This blessing is because the Lord, notice what it says in the verse, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God is their God. Blesses the nation. This is almost hanky waving. It's referring to a Gentile nation. It's referring to a foreign nation. It's referring to any nation other than Israel, although it works for Israel as well. This was a radical thought when David penned it, that a Gentile nation could be blessed if it would just turn and make Jehovah God his Lord. God will bless Russia if they'll turn to him. God will bless China and North Korea and Afghanistan and you name the country if they will follow this prescription. Look what it says, Lord. It's Jehovah. It's self-existent one. He is the one who had no beginning and will have no end. He makes the rules where individuals and nations are to follow. So understand, this works for marriages. This works for raising kids. This works for companies. So you say, well, I'm starting this mechanic shop. If you will build that mechanic shop by loving the Lord and make God the first in your business, God will bless you. That's what he's saying in every area of your life. And that's how America was founded. No nation in the history of the world since Israel was founded with such godly intent as America. We today, in 2026, are reaping the benefits of founders that have sown righteousness into our country. He said, I don't know about that. 1620, the pilgrims came to America. The Mayflower Compact documented their reason for coming. This is what it says. They came for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. The Puritans' first act on Plymouth Rock was to dedicate their colony to God Almighty. John Hancock, you remember his signature on the Declaration. He said, April 17, 1775, we recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. Now you understand, they were leaving England who had a king. So for him to say, we recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus, he was putting an X upon his chest. They were going to hunt him and they were going to kill him. Roger Williams was a Baptist who was persecuted for his faith. He founded Rhode Island. Rhode Island's capital? It's Providence. You know that. Do you think that was just, well, what's a good name to name our capital? No, they wanted everyone to know we found this state and this city acknowledging God Almighty. The Constitution of Rhode Island says this: every man shall be permitted to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience, the basis that was used in the U.S. Constitution. William Penn was a Quaker. He established Pennsylvania. He established New York, he established Delaware, Connecticut, South Carolina, Georgia, and the great state of North Carolina. William Penn, in writing government policies for Pennsylvania, he made sure this was included. Listen, all treasurers, all judges, all elected officials must profess faith in Jesus Christ to hold their position. I don't think we were founded as a Christian nation. Oh, yes, we were. George Washington said, it's impossible to govern the world without God and without the Bible. Benjamin Rush, who was known as the father of American education, said this: the Bible should be read in our schools. Now, notice this. In preference to all other books. I don't know about you in school. If I had the choice of reading the math book or the Bible, I'd take the Bible. First three American universities, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, were originally built to train pastors and missionaries to go into the ministry. June 8, 1945, President Andrew Jackson on his deathbed said this, the statement, "The Bible is the rock upon which our republic stands." John Quincy Adams, 1821, said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was that it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity." He said, the greatest benefit of the revolution is it brought government and Christianity together so that we would be governed as a Christian nation. 55 signers, framers of the Constitution, 50 of them were professing Christians. You look, take out your money, and you look at it. We're the only country in the world that on our money says, "In God we trust." Why is that? This verse, they believed it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Number one, the reverence of a nation. Secondly, notice the review of a nation. Look at verse 13. "The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike, he considereth all their works." The God that we claim to trust is also the God that we should have reverence for and even fear. Because God is our greatest hope, but he is also our greatest threat. A nation cannot enjoy the wealth and the blessings of God without experiencing the wrath of God when that country goes astray. Look what the verse says. Two times in verse 13 and 14, the Lord looks from heaven. Verse 14, from the place of his habitation, he looks on all, look at that, A-L-L, all the inhabitants of the earth. So God sees. Nothing escapes his attention. God sees what's going on in Washington, D.C. And God sees what's going on in Raleigh, North Carolina. And God sees what's going on in Bennett. God sees every courthouse. He sees every classroom. He sees every home. Hey, God sees when you're doing your construction stuff and you take that hammer and you hit your thumb. God's watching. He's listening too. He's watching as you jump up and down and you do that holy or unholy dance. God sees. Look on the verse. It says he searches. He considereth all. Look what it says. He fashions their hearts alike. God not only observes our actions, he knows our motives. He knows if we're nice just because we have to, because of that person. He's looking at our hearts. Man judges appearance. God judges intentions. And then the third one God studies. He considers all their works. Every decision, every law, every vote, every reaction, every act, God is considering. Nothing is overlooked. Remember Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament? He made this statement that Babylon was great because of him. Listen, I don't care what party. You show me any politician that thinks the people under him are successful because of him, that elected official, whoever he is, if he's a Republican, a Democrat, or independent, that guy's stuck up. And if he's making America's great because of me. No, sir. America's great because of God Almighty. And God can humble you the same way he humbled Nebuchadnezzar. God reminded Nebuchadnezzar, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Old Nebuchadnezzar was strutting his stuff and says, yeah, I made Babylon great again. And that day, Nebuchadnezzar was out feeding with the cows. And God humbled him. America, think about it. He observes it all. America, who was founded as a Christian nation, we've turned our back on God and His Word. He says in Scripture, "Thou shalt not steal." Realize last year in America, 746 burglaries last year in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. FBI says a burglary occurs every 42 seconds in our country. A larceny theft every 7 seconds. A motor vehicle theft every 37 seconds. Scripture says, "Thou shalt not kill." And yet last year in America, we had 16,924 murders. Scripture says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And yet 44% of Americans confessed last year to cheating on their spouse at least one time in their marriage. Now you would think, with the statistics going the way they are, you would think that we would be putting the Ten Commandments in every classroom, in every home, in every church. But no, we don't want the Ten Commandments. Because kids might see it and might do what it says for some reason. But we're saying no Ten Commandments in the schools. Number two, the review of a nation. God is watching. Thirdly, notice the reward of a nation. Look at verse 16. "There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." So what he says, military power is limited. There is no king saved by his armies. That's what he's saying. Armies have limits. History proves it. We should have never beaten the English because we were outnumbered some 6-1. They were far more skilled in battle than we as Americans were. You say, what was the key? This. We weren't strutting our stuff about how great we were militarily. We were dependent upon God Almighty. Now listen, I'm for a strong military. I believe that's one of the reasons government exists, is to protect us. I'm for having all of the planes and the F-16s and the F-87s. So I'm in favor of all of it. But that's not what's keeping us safe. Christians living godly, politicians, elected officials following this book. Oh, should we have a strong military? Should we have the bazookas and the tanks? Absolutely. But that's not what's going to protect us. God Almighty is what protects us. Military power is limited. He says human ability is limited. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Strong leaders can't save a country by themselves. Politicians alone can't rescue a people. Now, I like good leaders. I like leaders that will stand up and go against the grain. Who said, "I don't care if everybody's against me. This is right, and here's where I stand." But no single person is going to keep our country safe. Only God Almighty will keep our country safe. Look what he says. "A horse is a vain thing for safety." He's saying material resources are limited. In this time period, the horse represented military technology. It would be like the fighter jet today. It would be like these drones. Do you realize Russia has a whole lot more military power than Ukraine? But Ukraine is whipping them right now. You say, why is that? It's more than just the drones they have that are attacking. You say, hey, the missiles you have, and some of you are strutting your stuff over nuclear weapons. That's not what keeps you safe. Remember the Titanic? The world's first unsinkable ship. And do you remember the statement that they made? even God can't sink that ship. Maiden voyage. Some of you watched the movie. Some of you read the book. You know what happened on the maiden voyage. God says, you're saying I can't sink that ship? I'll show you, buddy. And it went down. Our safety as a country. I mean, if you think about 9/11. All of our radars and all of our espionage and all of our fighter jets couldn't keep these jets from flying into these buildings. We say, what are you saying? Listen up. We need to have the strongest military we possibly can have. But that's not where our protection comes from. Our protection comes from God Almighty and from people like that are in this room living holy lives and electing godly people to office who will stand up for biblical values. Think about David when he went to face Goliath. He did not defeat Goliath because of his slingshot. He goes and defeats Goliath because he says, the battle is the Lord's. So how does the future of America look? It looks fantastic as long as we follow God and his ways. As long as we put people into office who are following hard after God. The solution to America's problems, don't miss it, is God Almighty. Our greatest enemy is not Iran. Our greatest enemy is not China. Our greatest enemy is not Russia. Our greatest enemy is God Almighty saying, you've served your time. Your lifespan is up. You've forgotten me. You have forgotten my way. So I'm just going to pull back my protection. And in one day, everything that has been built for all these years could crumble if we don't have God protecting us. John Witherspoon, one of the earliest presidents of Princeton University, said this. He is the best friend to American liberty who is most sincere and active in promoting true and undefiled religion, and who sets himself with the greatest firmness to bear down, notice these wicked sins, on profanity. That's saying wordy dirts. Profanity and immorality of every kind. Whoever is an avowed enemy of God, I scruple not to call him an enemy of his country. What is he saying? You build a country that lasts on this book. And any person who opposes this book is not a friend of your country. I didn't say that. John Witherspoon said it. Look at verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Eye of the Lord, that's the blessing of the Lord. That's the favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, is on those that have a lot of money. No, so it says, upon those who were successful in business. Now what it says, upon those that fear, have reverence for him. That works in your business. That works in your marriage. That works in government. Who should we elect office? Listen, stop looking at Democrats. Stop looking at Republicans. Stop looking at independents. Which one lines up closest to this book? That's who I'm voting for. That's who I'm supporting. Because God's favor is upon them. And God will bless our land. Look what it says. Upon them that hope or depend in his mercy. You say, what's so great about that? They're humble. They're not strutting their stuff saying, I'm so great. And if you like me, I'm going to solve all the problems. You know what? We're all fallen. We don't have the aptitude to solve our world's problems. Only God does. And we hope in his mercy. This verse is as true for America as it is any country. It was true for America 260 years ago, 250 years ago, 240 years ago. And if we think, well, we can just abandon what this country was founded upon. Yep. And we will crumble as every other country in the world has. You say, preacher, what does America need? Leaders like Moses, who are determined to obey God no matter what. Generals like Joshua, who know God and pray things into existence. Politicians like Joseph, who walk with God and seek His will in everything that they do. Mothers like Hannah, who pray for their children and give them to God and raise them as they should be raised. You say, well, are you saying that a mother can change the course of a country? Absolutely, she can. Look at verse 19. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. You get that? When the stock market goes down, when there's a drought, when you go into tough economic times, you know who gets you through? Not the politician who promises the moon. The politician who calls for a national day of prayer because only God can get them through. Look at this, verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. Abraham Lincoln said this some 150 years ago. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in number, in wealth and power, as no other nation has ever grown. Notice what he says. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that these things were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Think about North and South America. Think about Canada. Think about Mexico. Think about Cuba. Think about El Salvador. Think about Venezuela. Think about all these countries. Why is America so successful? So much more successful than Canada and Mexico and Cuba. You know, well, we got some really smart people. The Bill Gates of the world and the Steve Jobs. You say, well, let me just beat you to the chase. Our country was founded on this book. And as long as our country follows these principles, we will know the blessing and the favor of God Almighty. And when we turn our back and say, no, we don't, that's old fashioned, we don't need it anymore, America will crumble just as every other society has. So here's the invitation. You're ready to go home. Here's the invitation. I'm going to be like Pharaoh and I'm going to let you go. Preacher, what do you want me to do? Here it is. Live a holy life. You decide. My country and my state and my county will be no better than my house is. So I'm going to read the book every day. Can't know how to live it out if I'm not in it. So I'm going to read this Bible every day, and whatever it says, I don't care if they think I'm a holy roller where I work. I'm going to read my Bible every day, and I'm going to live and do what it says. You say, will that save America? Oh, yeah. You start reading your Bible, your neighbor starts reading your Bible, his neighbor starts reading his Bible. It's going to change your biblical worldview. You're going to go from a humanist worldview to a biblical worldview, and it changes how you vote. You say, no, no, no. We got to have Christians on our school board. We got to have Christians and county commissioners making godly decisions. What am I asking you to do? Threefold invitation. You ready? Here it is. You live a holy life. Two, Romans 13, pray daily for our country. When you see something that's not right, don't go on Facebook and rip them anew. Get on your knees and say, God, will you open their mind and open their eyes? Maybe send them a personal email and rip them, but don't go on Facebook. Facebook is a waste of time. Pray daily for our country and for our elected officials. That's what Romans 13 says. Pray for, listen to what this verse says. Pray for all those that are in authority over us. All means all the Republicans. Yeah, I hate Republicans. All. It means Democrats. That means the ones that aren't Republicans and the ones that aren't Democrats, the independents. Pray for all. You say, why should I pray? Which verse says? That you may live a peaceable life. So what's the invitation? You commit to living a holy life. You commit to every day praying for our country and our elected officials by name. Listen, I've done this. I got convicted by that verse and I was like, you know what? I said, God help all our elected officials. I didn't know them. How am I supposed to know them? How am I supposed to pray for them if I don't know them? So I did this. This works. Experience talking. I started calling my elected officials. Scripture says I'm supposed to pray for you. I don't know anything about you. Can I take you out to eat? I'll buy. And I started taking out our elected officials like that. Hey, listen, I don't gossip. Anything you tell me is just going between me and you. And I'm just here to pray for you. And they started talking to me. And they said, hey, Neil, I got this going on. Will you pray for Neil? This is going on in my family. This is going on with my kids. Hey, I got this decision that we got to make in government. Can you? I'm telling you, it works. You don't even have to take them to Chick-fil-A. Just take them out to eat. Live a holy life. Number two, pray for your country and for your elected officials. Number three, vote biblical values. And some of you should run for office. Now, you think about it. Somebody's values are going to reign supreme in government. And if the Christians say, no, we're not doing with that because it's dirty, then you're just going to have crooked politicians and crooked lawyers running everything. But when a Christian says, all right, God, I'm going into enemy territory, but I'm going to stand for this book. If everybody applauds me and if everybody ridicules me, I'm going to stand for what this book says. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to, listen to this. Sin is a reproach to any people. Live a holy life. Pray daily for your country and your elected officials. Vote biblical values. And some of you don't need to run for office. But some of you should seriously think about it. Let me close with one of my favorite George Washington stories. I love George Washington. It's the French and Indian War. Battle of Monongahela. Young Colonel Washington was engaged in this fierce battle with the Indians. And I don't think it was the wisest decision. He was wearing this bright red coat. He crisscrossed the battlefield carrying orders from the commander to the troops. The Indians later acknowledged that they were targeting all of their aim on the generals, but specifically that tall one that they would come to later find out, Washington. There were 86 British and American officers involved in the battle. 63 of them were shot and killed that day. Colonel Washington was the only officer on horseback who was not killed. And later the Indians testified that they continuously aimed their guns at him. Shot at him, but he never failed. They believed, and this is their words, he was protected by an invisible power that no bullet, no bayonet, no arrow, no tomahawk could harm him. one of the Indian chiefs, sought out Washington later, and this is what he said. On that day, I called to my men and said, "Quick, let your aim be certain that he dies. Our rifles were leveled, rifles which, but for you, knew not how to miss. 'Twas all in vain. A power mightier far than we shielded you. I am come to pay homage to the man who is the particular favorite of heaven and who can never die in battle." The next day, George Washington wrote his brother John a letter, and this is what he said, and they're going to put it on the screen. "By the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation. For I had 4 bullets go through my coat and 2 horses shot out from under me, yet escaped unhurt. Although death was leveling my companions on every side, he made it out alive." The Indian chief believed that George Washington was protected by an invisible power that was greater than him. That's what Scripture says. Righteousness exalts a nation. Blessed is the nation and the home and the marriage and the company whose God is the Lord.